in Matthew chapter 9 tonight. If you have your Bible, you'd like to get it out. Matthew 9. Good to see you all here this evening. I really do hope you had a great afternoon. And just looking forward to sharing for a few minutes what the Lord has placed on my heart out of Matthew chapter 9. One thing that you may not know about where I grew up in California, I grew up in the Central Valley. And one thing about the Central Valley specifically is that that area is known for its agricultural productivity. All right, you might not think California, you know, a place that grows a whole lot of crops. Well, a few things to think about. All right, over 250 different types of crops are grown in the Central Valley at an estimated value of $17 billion a year. Now, I grew up in the city, so I didn't have much to do with any of those things. But it is an area of the world, area of the country that is really known for its agriculture. I remember a time that sticks out in my mind at least once of being involved. I had these friends, Hunter and Sawyer Bachman. They were some friends in high school, and their grandfather owned really what it was is acres and acres of vineyards, and they produced raisins. I remember one night they invited me over to their house just to spend the night over there to just hang out for a little bit, and I was looking forward to it. And I don't know the reason, but I do know that for whatever reason, one of our exciting activities of the one time I spent the night at their house was that we were going to work in the vineyard for a few hours. And for me, being a city kid, you know, growing up really in a city of about 700 to 900,000 people, that just sounded fun. So I was looking forward to it. I remember they told me, you know, bring some clothes that you can get ruined. I didn't have any idea what kind of clothes to bring, but I brought some jeans, a t-shirt that I didn't mind getting rid of. And I remember we got there maybe sometime in the afternoon, and we hung out for a little bit, did a few things, and they said, all right, it's time to go over to the vineyard for a little bit and do some work. And I remember we got there, and you just see rows and rows and rows of grapevines. All right, next time you get a little package of raisins, look on the back. It's most likely going to say from California. And it's most likely, sometimes if it has a city, it will have a city that's probably in the Central Valley, okay, right around where I grew up. But I remember we got out there and just rows and rows of vineyards. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, okay? But there's all these vines, and what they had done already is they'd already pulled all the grapes off of the vine, and they had put them on this sort of wax paper, cardboard paper, and they had wrapped it up to sit out there and to dry. And so I remember as I walked up to the row, you could just see, I mean, just for hundreds of yards, just packets and packets of raisins. And we had a really simple job. It was really not too hard. The tractor would drive down the row, and we had one job. You grab the packet, you throw the raisins in, and you put the paper on the spike. And that's what we had to do. And I thought, sure enough, this sounds really easy. It can't be that bad. Well, we get going, and what I found out real quick was that the tractor does not stop. So you just have to keep up with that thing. So we're going, I think there's maybe either two or three of us on each side, and we're grabbing a pack, throwing it in, put it on the spike, and we go and we go and we go until we get to the end of that row. And I remember dust was being kicked up everywhere. It was pretty nasty. I think all my clothes, I think I had to throw away after that day because they were just full of stickers. But I remember looking down those rows and just seeing raisins really as far as I could see and just being really amazed by that. You know, growing up in the city is not something I saw too often, but really it reminds me of a lot of scripture in which Jesus tells us what we're going to see here in Matthew 9, that the harvest truly is plenteous. You know, out there, those raisins, I mean, it was just for miles and miles and miles. Raisins just ready to be harvested, to be put in the back of that tractor bin and to go. And that's what we did for a few hours that night. But I'll never forget just that image of looking out and seeing the vineyards, of seeing those packets of raisins. And it just reminded me that the harvest truly is plenteous, not just, you know, in an agricultural way, but in the harvest of souls, of people that need to know about Jesus Christ, the harvest truly is plenteous. If you're in Matthew 9, would you look down at verse number 35 with me? It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As we have had missions conference, as we've had Faith Promise Sunday, as we even look up at the flags and we think of the millions and really even billions of people that need the gospel, the same task remains that was there 2,000 years ago, that the harvest truly is plenteous, that there are millions and millions of people who need the love and gospel of Jesus Christ, but the laborers still, unfortunately, are few. There are still many that are ready to hear the gospel. There are still many out there that are looking for an answer. But really, in fact, we need to pray that God would send forth more laborers. As I stood in that vineyard that night, I looked out at rows and rows of raisins. They were ready. They were there just ready to be put in the tractor. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't rocket science, so to speak. It wasn't anything really extremely difficult. But the reality was, is it just needed somebody to go out there and do the job that needed to be done, to finish the task, so to speak, as we heard with our missions conference theme. And the same problem that they had 2,000 years ago, we have today, in that there's a great harvest. There's many opportunities to reach people with the gospel, but there are so few who go out and tell them. And for the next few minutes, I want to expound on that thought of the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Would you bow your head and pray with me tonight? Dear Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I believe that this is, Lord, a topic that is most near and dear to your heart. Lord, as we think of a world full of 8 billion people, God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ was spilt for each and every one of them. Lord, they all are souls for which you died. And God, I pray that as we think of our communities, as we think of, Lord, our places of business, God, as we think of our neighborhoods or our schools, God, I pray you'd help us to see a harvest that is, Lord, ready to be picked, God. I pray that you help us to see souls that are ready to be saved, people that are ready to receive the gospel. And God, I pray that tonight you would give us that burden, that boldness, that desire, and that compassion that you had 2,000 years ago and that you still have today. Lord, would you give us a burning passion to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look at the beginning of chapter 9? What I want to see, first of all, tonight is see the opportunity. As they talked about the harvest, as it was shared there in the end of this chapter, that the harvest truly is plenteous. The idea of the harvest truly being plenteous is not just that there's a lot of work to do or that there's a lot of people that need the gospel, but also there's a whole lot of opportunity that is out there. And we want to see throughout chapter 9 how Jesus finds the opportunities that are there to share the gospel, to reach people, and that there really is a great opportunity. So let's look in chapter 9, verse number 1, talking about Jesus, who says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." We see the first opportunity here in the first few verses of chapter 9, where God finds this man who is sick of the palsy and his friend, who bring them to him, and he rewards their faith. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are searching for Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people out there, whether they are sick physically or whether they are just sick spiritually, that need a Savior. And there Jesus was, and he found the opportunity. But not only was there the people that were searching, but who was there that Jesus spoke to? There were the scribes, which said, "This man blasphemeth." And notice what Jesus does in verse 6 when it says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Notice that when Jesus healed this man of his palsy, that he wasn't just healing this man so that he could rise up and walk, but he was doing it as a testimony to those that were religiously wrong. You know, there were two opportunities here for Jesus Christ. Yes, there was these men that were seeking, these men that had great faith in this man who was sick of the palsy that came to Jesus Christ, and that he rewarded him by forgiving of his sins. But there was also these scribes that knew God's word, that knew religion, that had maybe a lot of the Sunday school answers, so to speak, but that needed to understand that their sins needed to be forgiven. And we have the same opportunities right here in Jackson County. We have people that are searching. We have people that are hurting, like this man who is sick. But we also have those that are religious, and maybe they go to a church. Maybe they have read their Bible. Maybe they have church in their house, and they know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know if their sins are forgiven. You know, as Jesus goes and he reaches these people, it's the first opportunity you see, but he doesn't stop there. Look down at verse 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." I find another man that Jesus drew to himself, this Matthew. You know what? God saw an opportunity with Matthew, not just for somebody that needed to be saved, not just for somebody that needed to be redeemed, but he saw a future disciple in Matthew. As Jesus is going on his way, he's just healed this man, sick of the palsy, he's spoken to the scribes, and he sees Matthew. They're really an outcast from his own people because of his job as a tax collector. And Jesus reaches Matthew by saying, "Come and follow me." And he shows him, of course, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. But in Matthew, he saw what maybe nobody else saw. And here is a man that can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to expound on this here in a few minutes, but understand that there's not just people who are searching. There's not just people who are religious but wrong in our community, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces. But there are future disciples of Jesus Christ all around us that we ought to look at peoples as souls for which Jesus Christ died, but not only see them as souls who need salvation, but see the potential in how God can use the people around us when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Continue looking down at verse number 10. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Here's another opportunity. Jesus invites these publicans and these sinners into his home. People that most people understood, hey, these are people that have messed up. These are people who have some glaring, obvious sins. But Jesus didn't look at these people as wicked people, as outcasts from society that he was just trying to stay away from. But in fact, he saw the opportunity and that they needed a touch from the Son of God and that they needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another opportunity. And he invited them into his home and he shared the gospel with them as he spent time with them in this home at this meal, showing them the love of God, but not just the publicans and the sinners. But what did he tell the Pharisees? Go and find out what that means. He said, "The Son of Man has come not to help those that are whole, but he's there to help those that are sick." As they said, "No, why are you eating with these people?" God again was speaking to the Pharisees, maybe the religious hypocrites, so to speak, those that would persecute the church eventually, those that would look down on sinners, those that would look down on Jesus Christ. He again takes the opportunity to share the gospel with those who maybe were religious, but at times mockers. Look down at verse 14. It says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus came unto them, Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, from that which is put in to fill it up, taketh the garment, and the rent is made worse. And he continues talking about the new bottles and the new wine put in them, and he joins us again in verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Here Jesus is approached by a rich young ruler. You know, oftentimes we think of those in society that are well off. We think of those that maybe have a lot of money. We think of maybe the rich and the powerful. And we think if anybody is not going to care about God, sometimes it's them. You know, even Jesus Christ himself said that it was difficult for those to humble themselves into the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he still took the time to go with him. Jesus is seeking out every opportunity that he can, from those that are sick to those that are hypocrites, from those that are religious but wrong to those that are outwardly sinful as the publicans, and he's taking each opportunity to share the gospel. He goes with this man who's a rich young ruler, and on his way, in verse 20 it says, And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For he said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You know, I think here's a woman who's been hopeless. 12 years long struggling with this disease. All of this time, maybe in despair, disappointment, discouragement, and depression. And she's just looking for anything that will help. And Jesus takes the time to stop and speak with this woman. It doesn't tell us a whole lot of what he said here in this passage, but we know from parallel passages that he stopped and he asked, you know, who touched me? Who touched the hem of my garment? And he goes and he encourages this young woman as she finds faith in Jesus Christ. God took every opportunity when he was on the way, when he was stopped at a meal, he looked for opportunities to reach somebody. In verse 23, it says, And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. You know, I see Jesus reaching those that are young, reaching this young girl who had maybe had not even thought about spiritual things up to this point in his life, in her life. But he took time to show her the power of God. And it says that his fame spread abroad. Here were these mockers. Here were those that were there just to make fun of him, saying, No, this girl is surely dead. Yet Jesus shows the power and the love of God as an opportunity to share the gospel even with these mockers. In verse 27, the chapter continues. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he's come into the house, the blind men came to him, and saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad in his fame in all that country. There Jesus goes and he heals the believing. He takes time as an opportunity to show that he is the Son of God. Even to these men that were hopeless, these men that were outcasts, and these men that reached out saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know that there's people in this community, there's people in your neighborhood, there's people in this area and in this world that know that there is something about Jesus Christ, but they do not yet have a personal relationship with him. And there's a great opportunity in those that know of Jesus but need somebody to further explain the truth of the gospel. Continues in verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. I think not only were there the sick and the sinful, the religious, but wrong. Not only were those that were seeking and those that had already knew that there was something about Jesus, but there was the impossible situation. such as this man that was possessed with devils, that had no hope, that seemingly to everybody else, this man was far too gone. But praise the Lord, he wasn't far too gone for Jesus. And sometimes we look out into a world around us, maybe at a coworker, maybe at somebody that we know, a family member, and we think there's no way that this person will ever turn to Jesus Christ. But God shows us right here there's an opportunity in each and every situation. The harvest truly is plenteous. You know, each of those stories took place from verse 1 to verse 34. Person after person, situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance of somebody that needed to know Jesus Christ. And as he looks and he talks to his disciples, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's not just from a bird's eye view of theory, but it's through what he has just been through in reaching this person and that person and talking to the religious and talking to those that were obviously sinful and showing them the gospel of Jesus Christ, showing them, hey, there is an opportunity out there. No matter the person that you're speaking to, no matter the people that you're around, there are people that need the love and gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, he saw the opportunity of people who needed the gospel and people who needed help. Everywhere we go, may we be like Jesus Christ, not just seeing people, not just seeing problems, not just seeing coworkers, not just seeing classmates, not just seeing neighbors, but truly seeing souls for which Jesus died. There's a great opportunity. I know sometimes we can grow weary of sharing the gospel. I know that sometimes we grow timid or we grow fearful about telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. But understand tonight that there is a wonderful opportunity out there. And sometimes we get nervous because somebody rejects us. Or we get nervous because we don't know exactly what to say. But God encourages us through Matthew chapter 9 that there is a great opportunity if we will just do the work of sharing the gospel. Sometimes we look at people like they don't want to hear about Jesus. Or that person, they don't want to be bothered. Maybe they already have a church or they already know I'm a Christian. We have to start seeing people as opportunities to show the love of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he was looking for someone to minister to and he was expecting something to happen. Look, not only is there a lot of people out there, but there are a lot of people that are ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't begin to tell you all the stories, but I'm sure many of you have heard them, whether it's going door to door and going door knocking. And sometimes people will maybe place a little bit of a knock on door knocking. They'll say, oh, going to people's houses doesn't work anymore. Nobody wants you at their house. But I can't tell you the stories that I've heard and even some that I've experienced where you're knocking on doors and maybe this person slams the door in your face. Maybe nobody answers for a row of 10 houses. But sometimes there's just that one who is waiting for somebody to tell you about Jesus Christ. We heard Pastor's story about Brother Shore where they are in Scotland and the man that they talked about that just a few weeks ago was ready to hang himself when they knocked on his door and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only is it door knocking, but sometimes it's family members. Sometimes it's people that we've told over and over and over again and we think, you know, they're never going to listen. They're never going to turn to Jesus Christ until something happens in their life and they're ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just think, no, it doesn't work anymore, but we have to see the opportunity that there are people out there who are ready. You can invite someone to church over and over again and there may be weeks on end where nobody comes. But then someone comes out on a day that you weren't expecting. We were encouraged last week, Mrs. Stone, if you've never been to the doctor with Mrs. Stone, which I haven't, but my wife's been with her before driving her to the doctor, and she invites all of her doctors, all of her nurses, hey, you should come to church. Well, if you didn't notice, last week there was a lady that came from the back and walked all the way up here to show Mrs. Stone that, hey, I'm here at church today. Has it been at least over a year since you've invited her the first time, Mrs. Stone? Has it been at least a year since you first invited the doctor that came? It's been at least a year. And I'm sure every single time she invites her to church, says, hey, are you coming this time? You know, sometimes it just takes understanding, hey, here's an opportunity that they might turn you down the first time, the second time, the third time. They might turn you down the 20th time. But if there's an opportunity for somebody to be saved, why should I stop trying? If there's an opportunity for somebody to believe in Jesus Christ and to have their eternity changed forever, why should we stop trying? If there's an opportunity that that person, maybe today they're not ready, but maybe in a few weeks down the road some of their walls will come down and they'll be ready to receive the gospel, then why should we stop trying? You can witness and share the gospel over and over and over again. And sure, they may turn you down over and over and over again, but there may just come a day when they are ready to hear the gospel and be saved. Every soul is an opportunity, and there are billions in this world. We look at these countries and these flags. Every country is an opportunity. You might think of states that you used to live in. Every state's an opportunity. Every city's an opportunity. Every person is an opportunity for somebody to have their life eternally changed by Jesus Christ. And when someone turns you down, I want to encourage you tonight, don't throw your hands up and say sharing the gospel doesn't work. Just go to the next one. I'll tell you, I've never been with a fisherman, okay, that when the fish don't bite after 10 minutes, they say, let's pack it up and go home. The fish just aren't going to bite today. I've never been with somebody who goes out fishing one time, they don't catch anything, and they say, I'm never going back out because this fishing thing just doesn't work. What do? They go to another spot. They go out again a different day. And look, when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, I understand sometimes we get the cold responses. Sometimes you have the days where you knock doors and you never get an answer. But that doesn't mean stop trying. It means that maybe there's an opportunity the next day. But when we stop trying, we miss out on those people that are ready. We miss out on those people that need the gospel desperately. We miss out on those people that are just waiting for somebody to share an answer with them. And we must not stop trying. We must stop looking at people as problems, looking at people as hindrances, looking at people as people that don't want to be bothered. Let's bother them, okay, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's share the love of God with them, whether it's a tract, whether it's your testimony, or whether it's with a more serious conversation. Let's share the gospel, because Jesus says the harvest truly is plenty. Is, but the laborers are few. There's so many people that are ready to be saved if we will just tell them. Number one tonight, see the opportunity. As Jesus walked this earth, he saw opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I pray that when we see people, we would see opportunities to share the gospel. But number two tonight, see the need. Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The problem with seeing people saved is not that this world is worse than it ever was, or that sharing the gospel doesn't work anymore. It's just that there aren't enough people sharing the gospel like there used to be, or like there ever has been. Even, you know, 2,000 years ago, these 12 disciples, these people that followed after Jesus, Jesus said, we can't have enough laborers. We can't help but have even more. As many as we can get who will go and preach the gospel, we can take them. And over the last few years, we've all experienced an after effect of COVID, okay? Maybe not anything physically, but how many stores or restaurants have you gone to that have been, quote unquote, short-staffed? How many places have you gone to where there's just not enough help? Just a few weeks ago, maybe a little bit over a month ago, we were with a missionary out to dinner, and we took them out. I believe it was to IHOP, okay? I won't tell you which one, but we went to the IHOP, okay? And we got there and we sat down, and this young lady, she greeted us. She was the hostess that night. She sat us down. She gave us our menu. She told us, asked for our drink orders. And it seemed like the entire night, she is the only person that we saw at the entire IHOP. I think we were probably there for about 2 hours or so, and waiting for our food was at least half of it, okay? But that's the only person we saw that night. She was the one, she was working. I think as we waited for our food, I believe she even went back into the kitchen for a little while. I don't know if she was helping back there or what, but how many times have we gone into a place, whether it's a restaurant or a place of business, and saw, you know, help wanted, now hiring, or just experienced that there wasn't enough help? You know, as we sat there at IHOP, you know, it wasn't terribly frustrating, as, you know, we had a group there that we could all talk and, you know, just fellowship a little bit. But I know sometimes we go out to eat, and man, it's a little bit frustrating, right? There's not enough help. You know, there's not enough people to make sure that this thing is going right. There's a lot of work to be done. I've been in a place where it seems like the lobby is full and there's just not enough help. You know, with spreading the gospel, there are so many opportunities, yet so few people who go and do the work. There are so many opportunities, so many streets, so many houses, so many people here in Athens and in Jackson County that need the gospel. But how many of us are going? The struggle with churches looking to make an impact and looking to make a difference in this world is not that there's not enough people out there. It's not that there's not enough people searching. It's not that there's not enough people who are in need, but there's a lack of laborers to go and tell them. We have a great unfinished task, like we heard about during missions conference. Billions of people who need the gospel. 7,398 unreached people groups throughout the world that don't have a gospel witness among their people. City after city in our own country with thousands of people and no church. As Pastor Brother Mike and I were out in California, the pastor there, he said there's at least a dozen cities, if not more like 20 cities that have 100,000 people and no independent Bible Baptist church preaching the gospel to them. You know, there's country after country, county after county, city after city that need somebody to share the gospel with them. And it's not just going, although sometimes that is what God has for us to do. But sometimes it's just the person after person here in Athens, Clark County, in Jackson County, in Madison County, and more who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You would be amazed at how many people, especially kids in this area, who have not had a clear explanation of the gospel. I want to invite you and challenge you to do that. Next time you're talking to somebody that you do not know, ask them, have you ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you ever heard it explained to you? I've talked to teenagers and kids, whether it's at Good News Club or visitors here at the church through VBS, and I've asked them, have you ever heard that explained to you before? And then just look up at me and say, no. There are people right here in our backyard, right here in our neighborhood, who have never heard that Jesus Christ loves them so much that He died for them, that He was buried, and that He rose again. There's a great need, and we need more laborers to go out and spread the gospel. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." A great truth. But the verses that follow it should be challenging. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel still works. The gospel still is powerful. The Bible and the truth of Jesus Christ, it is as powerful as it has ever been. But our responsibility is to go and tell. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord." Jesus Christ and God, they were looking for somebody to make a difference in a country back in Ezekiel, and they couldn't find anybody to go and stand in the gap and to proclaim the truth of God. There are churches all across this nation that have no pastor. There are even more churches that have no help other than the pastor. Said there's over 7,000 people groups that have no gospel witness. There are many countries that you can look at on a map and note that we don't know of any missionaries going there. How is this great opportunity going to be handled unless we go and share the gospel? You know, I sense in my own mind sometimes just to say that, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go. And while that's technically true, it doesn't mean you have to go. But as Pastor said many times, we all should be willing to go. But I'm going to take that a step further. We shouldn't just be willing to go, but we all should be wanting to go. We all should have a desire that if I can go and share the gospel with somebody who has never heard, Lord, sign me up. I want to go. Whether it's going to another country or whether it's going to help out at Good News Club, whether it's going to reach an unreached people group that has never heard, or whether it's going down your neighborhood and knocking on some doors and introducing yourself as the neighbor and telling them about Jesus Christ. We all should have a desire to go and to take that opportunity to run with it and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God says the harvest is plenteous. Look, there's a great opportunity out there to do something that will matter for eternity. There's a wonderful task at hand where you can make a difference in countless people's lives to share the gospel with them and to see their eternity change forever and ever and ever. And oftentimes we see the opportunity, but we don't acknowledge it for what it really is. And when God's looking for laborers, He is looking for full-time laborers. But He's also looking for individuals who will just share the gospel with their neighbor. He is looking for more missionaries. But He's also looking for somebody who will be a missionary at their work. He is looking for more pastors, but He's also looking for more young people who will share the gospel at their school. God is looking for more evangelists, but He's also looking for people that will just show up to Saturday visitation and go and share the gospel with somebody out in the neighborhood that you may never go into otherwise. God is looking for people who will stand up and preach the gospel because there's a great opportunity. There's a great host of people that God loves, that He died for, that He's willing that all should come unto repentance, and He looks for us to go and tell them. It's a great need. Who will go? Number one tonight, see the opportunity. Number two, see the need. But number three, see the request. In verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into our harvest. God gives us a prayer request, and many people will call it, the only prayer request in the Bible. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray that God will send forth more laborers into this world. I want you to notice a few things about the request, all right? Number one, the request was to those who were already participating. Notice that God didn't speak this to the multitudes, okay? As God was out there, He wasn't just talking to the great group of people. He wasn't talking to those that would show up to hear Jesus Christ preach, maybe to get some food from Him or healing from Him or a miracle from Him. But He was speaking to His disciples. He was speaking to those that were already participating. As He spoke to these disciples, all of these men other than Judas Iscariot went around the world and preached the gospel. They all went out and did whatever it took to get the gospel to everyone that they could. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to pray for more preachers. It's good to pray for more pastors. We ought to pray for more missionaries and more evangelists. But we better be sure that if we're praying for God to send people out, that we are also doing our part. Hudson Taylor said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a command to be obeyed. God has called all of us to tell somebody. You may not be able to reach a whole city or a whole street or a whole neighborhood. You may not be able to go and to reach many people in another country, but you can reach somebody. So who are you sharing the gospel with? In what way are you participating? Sharing the gospel is not just for some Christians, it's for every Christian. It's not just for some people, it's for all people. You don't have to be a pastor or a full-time ministry, but you can do your part in sharing the gospel. And as we've had Faith promise, look, it's wonderful to give to missions. We ought to. It's wonderful to pray for our missionaries. We ought to. It's wonderful to be involved in Faith Promise and in missions conference and in missions trips when we can. Those are great things and we should do those things. But we should more importantly do what God has called us to do every single day and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. God's given us opportunities. Sometimes we might think there's no opportunities out there. But if you stop to look for just a moment, you'll find that there are more than you think. Sometimes we feel like nobody's out there looking for the gospel. Nobody's asked me about salvation. God tells us to go and tell. To go and look for opportunities. Not only was the request to those that were participating, but the request was a priority. In verse 36... it says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. This request was something that was near and dear to the heart of our Savior. I can think of nothing else other than us as individuals that is more important to God than sharing the gospel with somebody else. And there are a great many things that are very important, but sharing the gospel has to be up towards the top of the list, if not at the top of the list of priorities that God has given us. And are we seeing the opportunities? Would you turn with me to John 4 as we prepare to close here in just a few minutes? John 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 31. The Bible says, "In the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." Just to give you a little context, okay, this is right after the story of the woman at the well. Jesus and his disciples were traveling. He said, we must go through Samaria. He went and he led this lady to the Lord. He showed her the gospel. He showed her the truth of who he was. And that woman received Christ. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus, he takes really an aside here with the disciples. He takes just a moment to talk with him about what he has just done as they gather and they bring food to him. If you know the story, they were traveling. Jesus says, go ahead and get food, and I'm going to talk to this woman here at the well. And this woman puts her faith in Jesus Christ, and he says, look, this is my meat to do the will of him that sent me. What God was saying, and this is my priority, this is where I find my satisfaction in people coming to know me as their Savior. And then he tells them, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He's telling the disciples, don't push off the need to tell others about me. Don't push off this harvest of people that are ready to be saved. Don't push off this harvest of souls that need somebody to show them the love of God. Don't push it off for 4 months. He said, now is the time. The harvest is plenteous, and the harvest is ready. And he said, no matter whether you sow or whether you reap, you gain reward. He's saying, is there some that they go out and they share the gospel and that person never gets saved while they're talking to them? Maybe they share the gospel time and time again, but then somebody else gets to lead them to the Lord. And the opposite is true. Sometimes we go and share the gospel with somebody and we don't know the person that has been praying for them, the person that has been witnessing to them, the church and the pastor that have been reaching out to them, and we just get to reap the harvest where they bow their head and they put their faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying, regardless of what you do, whether you're just sharing the gospel or whether you're actually seeing people saved, don't put off the harvest, for it's now is the time to spread the gospel. He tells the disciples, don't put it off. Right now, the harvest is ready. Right now, the harvest is plenteous. Right now is the opportunity to reach people. I know as we think of the attacks in Israel, sometimes people start thinking of when is the Lord coming back, right? That's normally when many of our minds go to, oh, maybe it's soon. Maybe Jesus will be coming soon. Don't put off sharing the gospel. Think of that loved one that still needs to be saved. Don't put off praying for them and trying again. Think about those kids. Think about those people at school that need the gospel. You know what? You may be raptured up out of here one day, and you may have missed your opportunity. Friends, neighbors, countries, cities, opportunities that we have to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers really are few. Will you join the harvest? Will you join the opportunity to go and share the gospel with somebody? You know, Pastor and I have been talking a little bit and praying, and we're really praying that God will call somebody out of this church to be a preacher, whether it's a pastor, a missionary, or something like that. We're praying that God would call more people, that God would call more laborers. But it doesn't just extend there. We're praying that God will use His people to continue reaching people. What a blessing it's been to see visitors. And we ask them, oh, how did you get connected with Crooked Creek Baptist Church? And they point to somebody, or they say somebody's name and say, they invited me. That's wonderful. Don't stop reaching out to people. Don't stop sharing the gospel with people. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop being involved in what God has called us to do as Christians, which is to share the gospel. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're not involved, then get involved. Tell somebody. And when you've told that person, tell somebody else. You take an opportunity and that person rejects you, that person doesn't listen, go find somebody else and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the people around us as opportunities. Opportunities to share the love of God. Opportunities for somebody to have their eternity forever changed for the good, where they can go to heaven and dwell with God forever, because we are willing to take that step in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. God is looking for more laborers. He does not discriminate. He does not look for the ultra-talented. You might think, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Don't worry. God will help you. God will give you the words to say when you share your testimony. God will give you the verses to share as you share the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you don't remember all the words, you don't remember all the verses, God will remind you that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again, and you can simply tell them that. But make sure that you take every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know this is something that I struggle with. Is, have I taken every opportunity? Sure, I've taken some. But Lord, who have I missed out on that I should have taken the time to stop to tell them about the love of God and how it's changed my life? I know in the next few weeks the flags will be taken down and faith promise cards will be grabbed up, and maybe that missions booklet will be put in a safe place to look back on one day. But I believe the emphasis of our church, the emphasis of missions, the emphasis of reaching people with the gospel will always remain. And I just hope that each and every one of us will get involved in any way that we can. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me tonight as we...